The epistle for today, the second Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, Christ has suffered for you, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile, when he suffered did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly, who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice, and by his stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep, but the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. We'll begin with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, today we're going to take a quick walk through the history of the Catholic Church. Well, during the infancy of the Catholic Church in the first few centuries, the life of the Church was threatened. Recall that the civil rulers, the Roman emperors, sought to end the life of the Church through a bloody persecution. So the Church went into hiding. After a time, the threat to the infant Church subsided, and then the Church was able to return to the public life. And following these following centuries, what happened was that the Church grew in a hidden way, right? During the Dark Ages, the Church grew in strength. Then it came to maturity, and in about the 13th century, it had the public preaching of those great preaching orders. Remember the Franciscans, the Dominicans, preachers like St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Anthony, St. Francis, St. Vincent Ferrer. Well, after this period of the great preaching in the Church, there came the splintering of the Church. The belief in the real presence of our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament was challenged, and the people fell away from the Church. The authority of the visible head of the Church, the Pope, was challenged, and it was, you might say, the authority of the Pope was struck, and the sheep were then scattered. And those who were scandalized fled from the Church. Well, after this, the leaders themselves in the body of the Church were attacked by enemies from within, betrayed by some modernist enemies. What happened was a number of these leaders abandoned their posts. Okay, we saw sort of a defection in the Church in the last century. Well, finally, now we're seeing the leaders of the visible body of the Church, its priests and bishops, being attacked and wounded. And even the visible head of the Church, the Pope, is not spared from attack. So what's the point of all this? What's the point of this history lesson? Well, the point is found in something that our blessed Lord told to St. Paul when he converted. Remember that St. Paul's original name was Saul. Well, our Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now remember that Saul had never met Christ. So in other words, what our Lord was saying by Saul having persecuted the Church, which is what Saul was doing, our Lord was saying that he saw the persecution of the Church as a persecution of his very self. The Church is the mystical body of Christ. St. Paul makes this clear in Colossians 1:18 and 1:24. Now, if that's true, if the Church is the mystical body of Christ, let's take another look at that history and see if that mystical body of Christ has gone through the same things that the physical body of Christ went through. Well, during the early life of the Church, its life was threatened by the civil rulers, the Roman emperors, just like During our Lord's infancy, his life was threatened by the civil ruler, Herod. Our Lord, in order to escape this, had to go into hiding, just like the church, to escape this, went into hiding. Well, in time, the threat to the mystical body of Christ, the church, passed, and it was able to come out from hiding from the catacombs, and was able to return to public society. Well, likewise, in time, the threat to our Lord's physical body passed, and he was able to return to public life. He was able to return to Nazareth. And after this time, the church, the mystical body of Christ, grew in a hidden way during the Dark Ages, increasing in size and in strength, just as our Lord, during that time, those hidden years in Nazareth, he also grew in strength in a hidden way. Well, then, the mystical body of Christ, after this time period in the 13th century, flourished publicly with the great public preachers, those Franciscans, those Dominicans that we spoke of. And in the same way, our Lord, after that hidden time of growth, went publicly, flourished with his great preaching, his 3 years of public ministry. Well, then after this, the real presence in the church, the real presence of our Lord was challenged by those who were leaving the church. Many walked no more with the Catholic Church because of this belief. Likewise, in John chapter 6, our Lord taught that the bread that he would give to eat would be his flesh for the life of the world. And John 6:67 tells us that because of this teaching, for the first time, many disciples drew back and walked no more with him also. Finally, after that great period of preaching in the church, there followed the Protestant Reformation. The unity of the mystical body was struck. The church was struck and its sheep were scattered. Likewise, at the end of our Lord's public ministry, his physical body was struck. The shepherd was struck and the sheep were scattered. The mystical body of Christ, the church, was attacked, being betrayed by enemies from within, as we saw with the modernist heresy. And the passing on of the full teaching of the church was sort of abandoned by a number of the leaders in the church. In a similar way, the very physical body of our Lord was attacked, being betrayed from an enemy within also. The enemy was Judas. And then it was abandoned, our Lord's physical body was abandoned by its leaders, by the apostles who should have been staying close to our blessed Lord during this time when he needed him, needed them the most. Recall the words of our Lord at his resurrection. He said to his disciples, "Ought not Christ to have suffered and so enter into his glory?" Now the church is the bride of Christ, as Ephesians 5 tells us, and the bride is one flesh with the bridegroom. So if the church, being one flesh with Christ, our Lord himself suffered, we could change those words of our Lord and apply them to the church by saying, "Ought not the church to have suffered and so enter into its glory?" St. Paul says that we preach Christ crucified. The crucified bridegroom seeks a crucified bride. This should not leave us, however, without hope. As St. Paul says, Christ has been raised from the dead, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And how was it that Christ was made eternally alive? It's by going through the passion of the cross, through that to the resurrection. That's why St. Paul in Colossians 1:24 says that I fill up what is wanting in the sufferings of Christ in my own body for the sake of his church, the mystical body of Christ. So the only thing wanting in the sufferings of Christ is actually what the mystical body of Christ has to go through yet in time, what the church has not yet endured. Now, what are we speaking of here when we talk about the church, this bride of Christ, having to suffer? Well, speaking of full membership in the church, Venerable Pope Pius XII, in his encyclical Mystici Corporis, said that the church is the society of those who have been baptized, who profess the faith of Christ, and who are governed by their bishops under the visible head, the Pope, the Bishop of Rome. So, we have to stay united to this church, to this visible head, no matter how tough the fight gets. We are the church militant, huh? We're not the church Mickey Mouse, right? So the fight is going to be there. We got to be tough for the fight. There was this one author in the 70s. His name was Gene Osweit. He was sort of a leader of Catholic Action. And he wrote a letter to a man, basically sort of defending the church. And he talked about how those people have been fleeing from the church. And he had this to say. He said, "Strange soldiers of a church reputedly militant, soldiers troubled by the first sign of battle. Why should God spare us from what he has spared no other Christian generation? Hell has not given up the fight. And what a comfort that is. What a marvelous sign of the eternal reality of our faith. How we ought to prefer this state of incessant alarm to the life of so many trouble-free religions, which Satan does not even consider worth attacking. The disaster, the great disaster, is that we Catholics do not know, do not meditate on the history of the church." Close quote. Now, we may be scandalized about the sins of the members of the church and of the leaders of the church. And I'm sorry if anyone here has suffered at the hands of a member of the clergy. Your trust has been betrayed. You've been wounded grievously. And I pray, however, that this does not keep you back from the union that you should have with Christ, with the bride of Christ, his church. Don't give the devil another victory. Don't let him get your soul by driving you away from the church. The mystical body of Christ in this world, that is, the visible church, has wounds on its body, just as the physical body of Christ had wounds in his body. So we have a choice. We can say, this body, the church, looks pretty beat up right now. It doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't look good. How can this be the true church, the means of redemption? Therefore, I'm going to leave this beaten up body for something that looks and feels better. Well, that's just like what the followers of our Lord could have said at his crucifixion, huh? This body looks pretty beaten up right now. How can this be the true God, the Redeemer? Therefore, I'm going to leave this beaten up body for something that looks cleaner and feels better. And just like those that would have walked away from Christ, and they would have not seen the resurrection of our Lord, the glory of our Lord, so those that walk away from the church will not see its glory, its final victory. If you've been away from the church for a while, or if you know someone that has gone, please come back, or please call them back. Don't die outside the church. Whatever you do, don't die outside the church. That is the means that Christ gave us for our salvation. Stay close to her. Remember that after the resurrection, our crucified Lord still bore the wounds on his hands, his feet, his side, as the Gospel of St. John tells us. He still bore those wounds. So when we go before our Lord after our life to identify us with him as his body, his church, he's going to ask us, "Show me your wounds. Show me your wounds. Where are your wounds? For my bride is one flesh with me. And if you are part of the body of Christ, then you will have been wounded with me. Show me your wounds." And if we've stayed faithful to the Catholic Church, not let the scandals or the attacks upon the church by those who exploit the scandals, because let's be honest, and although what I'm about to say, okay, I just want to preface this with one incident of a scandal is one enough. It is infinitely enough of a scandal. One is too many. But keep in mind that 1.7 of the priests have apparently been caught in these sort of scandals. 1.7. Whereas in those who are non-Catholics, the Protestant Christians, the rate of this kind of scandal, identical kind of scandal, is 10% of the ministers. 1.7% of the Catholic priests, 10% of the ministers. But who is being attacked? I agree, one is too many. One scandal is too many. So I don't want to minimize that by throwing the percentage there. One is too many. But look who Satan is attacking. Look who's targeted. It's his mystical body. And if we stayed close to that mystical body, if we've borne the wounds, we'll be able to say with our blessed Lord when he asks us, "Here are my wounds, O Lord. Here are the wounds in my hands, my feet, my side. I received these wounds when I, with the mystical body of Christ, the church, was crucified alive by the world in the 21st century. Like you, O Lord, on the cross, I hung there till the end. I didn't come down from the cross when it got tough. I stuck it out. I have not left the flock, the one shepherd. Here are my wounds, O Lord, for here are your wounds, O Lord. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. There shall be one fold and one shepherd." May Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.